listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the epistle of Paul to the Romans. It's really a privilege to be able to go through this book and to see all that the Lord is saying to us even in this season. And as we glean from this book, we pray that we will not just be hearers of God's word, but we will be doers of the word. We will now start to practice what he says. We want to be obedient children who will hear what the Father says and decide to do it. So we are going to pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this another privilege to bring forth your word. We thank you for what you are doing for us in this season. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who is with us and in us. We thank you for your words that you have left for us. Your word which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. We pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that we will hold firmly to your word, that our faith will be built up even in these trying times. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus, O God Almighty, that we will continue, O God, to walk by faith and not by sight. Father God, we pray that we will continue in your word, O God, and we shall be your disciples indeed, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that as your truth, O God, is being shared with your people, that we, O God, Almighty Lord, will grasp what we need, O God, and hold firmly to it so that our lives will be transformed. Father, we just thank you again for those that are listening this evening. Thank you for those that are saved. We pray that their spiritual life, O God, will be built up as they hear your word. We pray for those that are not yet saved, that they will come to a saving knowledge of who you are, Jesus, that they will put their trust in you and walk by faith and not by sight. Father, we just thank you right now for what you're doing, what you're about to do. Thank you that your word, O God Almighty Lord Jesus, is the ability for others to be saved. So we just pray right now that as your word go forth, it will find that good soil, O God, and it will germinate and bring forth fruits of righteousness. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, we honor you. For you are God and there is none else. Oh God, we look to you this evening. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. And help us, oh God, to be receptive to your word. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. We continue in Romans. Last time we completed Romans chapter 10. And now we are going on to Romans chapter 11. But we want to look at the two last verses in Romans chapter 10. The word of God said, but Isaiah, which means Isaiah, is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. So Isaiah here was speaking that he was speaking that the Jewish people were the ones who God has called unto himself as his chosen people. But now the Lord was saying that I am now found of them. I'm found of the Gentiles that sought me not. So the Gentiles had no knowledge of Jehovah God. But now they are seeking after him because they have heard the good news and they decided to put their trust in Jesus. So they know the Lord was saying, I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. So no revelation of who Christ is has come to the Gentile people. And verse 21 said, but to Israel, God's chosen people, he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I've been stretching out my hands towards you, Israel, calling you unto myself, calling you to put your trust in the Messiah Jesus Christ. But you have opposed my word. You are speaking or acting against what I'm saying. So the Lord is saying, he keeps calling the Jewish people, but they have refused from accepting the call. So Paul was now speaking of the Gentile who were not a people then. They had no identity. The Jewish people were always identified as the children of God, as the people of God. And now the Gentile can now be called children of God because they have put their faith in Jesus Christ. So look on Romans chapter 11. We're going into verse 1. Paul continues. He said, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was saying, has God cast away his people? Is God done with Israel? No, by no means. Certainly not, he's saying. For I also am an Israelite. Paul said, I am an Israelite. I am a Jew of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So he tells who he is. So he said, just as how I am not cast off by God. Then the other Jewish people also have hope of being redeemed, but they have to do something about it. They have to put their trust in the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 11. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What he not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Paul was speaking of Elijah. He said, look on verse 3. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. So this was Elijah speaking in 1 Kings 19:10. So Paul was referring to the Old Testament scripture. 1 Kings 19:10. It tells us that Elijah, he was there thinking that he was the only prophet left. He said, they have killed the prophets. They have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars. And I am left alone and they seek my life. This was when Jezebel was seeking to kill Elijah. And the word tells us that Elijah was feeling alone. He was feeling as if he was abandoned. And he was crying out to God. But look on God's response to Elijah. Look on verse 4. But what says the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. That's found in 1 Kings 19:18. So the Lord responded to Elijah that he has not really abandoned his people. There are still more people who have not bowed to Baal. They have not bowed to the system of the world. And so it is now, people of God. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel we are the only one that are trying to live holy, to live righteous in this present time. It's very dark at this time, people of God. And many times we feel that we are alone. But God is reminding us today that there are many, many who have not bowed to the world and its system. There are many who are still holding firm to their faith. There are many who are still walking in holiness and righteousness. So let us not feel that we are alone. But let us come to understand, even as in Elijah's days, that there are still many who have not soiled their garments. There are still many who are walking in purity of heart and mind. There are still many who have exalted Jesus in their everyday life. So let us not think that we are alone, but there are many who are still walking by faith, trusting in Jesus. Look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 11. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So the Lord always have a faithful remnant, people of God. The Lord always have a faithful remnant. And as Paul was comparing the time of Elijah, when he was hiding from Jezebel, and the thought that he was the only prophet of God that was left, But God told him that he had 7,000 prophets who have not bowed to Baal. So Paul was saying that at this time also, there is a small group of Israelites who have put their trust in Jesus, the giver of grace. So at that time, many have rejected the Messiah during Paul's time. But there were still a few who had placed their trust in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 of Romans 11. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. What was Paul saying here? If we come to God by grace, then it is no more of works or self-effort in trying to keep the law. Otherwise, grace is of no effect. People of God, grace is God's unmerited favor to humanity. We are saved by grace through faith. So grace is that unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, yet still that favor is bestowed upon us. So we have to accept that gift, that it is by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous Son. That's the only way we can be saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. The law cannot save us. The law points out our sins, show us where we're going wrong. But the law could not save us. Because what happened is that we don't have it inside of us, not one of us, to keep the holy law. The law is holy. The law is righteous. The law is good. But only one person could keep it perfectly. And that's Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man. He kept the law perfectly. And because of that, now we have to put our trust in the one who kept the law perfectly. So no one trying to live by keeping the law, by doing good works to please God, can truly be saved. So grace is of no effect if we are trying to live the law by our own effort. But if it be of works, trying to, in your own human effort to please God, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, your works would be of no effect. So Paul was saying we cannot mix grace and works to please God. We are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. And it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's the word coming from Ephesians 2:8-9. It is a gift of God. A gift cannot be purchased. People of God, we have to accept a gift. A gift is given to you. Accept it. So we can't come with our good works and thinking that doing good works can save us. We do good works because we are saved. The Spirit of God lives in us and help us to do what's good and what's right. But good works cannot save us. Our salvation comes through placing our faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So we cannot mix grace and works. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not of ourselves, not of our good works. Lest we should boast how good we are. But we have to boast how good God is. How good Christ is, the one who came as the ultimate sacrifice and laid down his life for us. We now have to boast in his goodness, to boast in his mercy and his grace, to boast in the truth of the sacrifice that he has made for us. So we have to come to God by his standard, not by our standard, trying to do some works, thinking that that can please God. No. God is only pleased when we place our faith in his Son. So we have to come to understand that. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous Son. That is the only way we are justified. That's the only way we are declared righteous. So Paul was making it clear to the Jewish audience right there, even as he spoke in this book to the Romans. He was also speaking in chapters 9 through 11 to a Jewish audience, reminding them that there was still hope. Hope for them to become children of God through putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 11 verse 7. What then? Paul was asking a question. Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So Paul was saying that the truth of the matter is Israel has not received the favor that they have been seeking for, but the chosen has received the unmerited favor of God, his grace, and the rest were blinded. 2 Corinthians 3:14 tells us, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil and taken away. In the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So, people of God, Paul was saying many Jews still holding on to the old covenant, not realizing that a new covenant has come. The new covenant has come through the sacrifice that Christ has made at the cross. When his body was broken on the cross and his blood gushed from his side, he said, the new covenant is in my blood. The new covenant is in the sacrifice that I've made at the cross. But they were still holding on to the old covenant. They were still blinded. They still have the veil over their eyes. They could not see that now the Old Testament has now been revealed through Christ. So they still continue to walk in darkness. But God's word is reminding us that Christ has paid it all. The word of God said when he died, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, showing them that, no, listen, you have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, the righteous Son. But they still fail to believe. And they still hold on to the old ways of life. But Christ has come to make all things new. But Paul was saying to them today that that veil still remains upon them. But we pray that they will come to know the Messiah. They will come to put their trust in Jesus Christ. And all of humanity will come to know and understand that Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. Look at verse 8 of Romans 11. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So Paul was saying, God has given them a spirit of slumber, that they have eyes, but they're not seeing anything. They have ears, and they are not hearing. And we can see even Moses spoke to the children of Israel and spoke in this same manner. Let us look at Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 4. Yet the Lord has not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. So when we come to a place of hardness of heart and just don't want to really understand and to apply God's word, then we are going to be so hardened. We are going to be not able to see or hear what God is saying to us. Even though he's speaking, we are not able to understand and grasp what he's saying to us in this time. We want to have a heart that is pliable, a heart that is willing and ready to hear the word of God and to do his will. Isaiah also spoke also in Isaiah 29, verse 10. The word of God said, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words, verse 10, for the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. So Isaiah was speaking. A deep sleep has come upon you. A slumber has come upon you that you can't even see. You can't even hear. Your eyes are closed. The prophets, the rulers, the seers, all of them, they are covered. They are the Lord is concealed from them. They can't see the things that is pertaining to God. And so it is now, people of God. We might be preaching and teaching the word, but many eyes are blinded. Many are in deep sleep. But we pray, and we continue to pray for a revival among us. We pray for a spiritual awakening in the world. We pray that God will move mightily among us. And all the veils will be taken away from our eyes. All the hardness of heart will be demolished by the power of the Holy Spirit. The stony hearts will become hearts of flesh, that they will hear and attend to the word of God. Look on Romans 11 verse 9. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Psalm 69, 22. That was where Paul was quoting from. And verse 10 said, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Psalm 69, 23. So that's where Paul was quoting from. So if we chose not to want to hear God's word, if we chose to harden our hearts and not want to obey God's word, and this is what is going to happen, our eyes are going to become so dark. And we're not going to be able to see a thing. We're not going to be able to hear. We are going to stumble along the path because we decide to go our own way and not the way of the Lord. And that was what was happening then as Paul spoke to the Jewish people. They wanted to do things their way, go their way and do their own thing. They want to come to God by their own standard of righteousness, still holding on to the law and think that their good works could take them in. What God is saying, it's only through his son, Jesus Christ, only through his son, only by his righteous standard can they truly come to him. So we can come with our own standard. We can come our own way. We have to come the way of the Lord. So Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So Paul was asking the question, have the Israelites stumbled that they should fall? He answered, by no means, or certainly not. But this happened because of their rejection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So salvation through faith in Christ, the Jewish Messiah, is now preached to the Gentile, and they are receiving the gift of salvation through faith in Christ. So this will provoke or stir up the Jewish people to jealousy. They will come to understand that a people who had no identity are now called the children of God. They who were called the children of God because of God's covenant with Abraham, now the word of God tells us that the Gentiles are not called the people of God because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So when Paul was saying, when the Jewish people see all these Gentiles coming to God, calling upon Jehovah through Jesus Christ, the righteous son, they are going to be provoked to jealousy. They are going to come to that place where they truly want what the Gentiles have. And many of them are going to put their trust in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the righteous son. So Paul was saying, God is not done with Israel. God is not done with Israel, not because of their failure to put their trust in the Messiah, but there is still hope for Israel. There is still hope. And the Gentiles coming to God, coming into a relationship with God the Father, will now stir them up and provoke them to jealousy, where they will want what the Gentile has. They will want that relationship with God. They will see the love that the Gentile people have for the Messiah, have for Jehovah God, and they will want that. So Paul was saying all of this also was to stir them up to jealousy, was to provoke them to jealousy so that they can come to that place of admitting that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Redeemer of the world. Look at verse 12 of Romans 11. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So Paul was saying that through the failure of the Jewish people to receive salvation through faith in Christ, this same salvation is riches to the Gentile world, or is riches to those that will believe. It's a treasure to the world, to those that will put their trust in Jesus. And their diminishing or falling has become the wealth of the Gentiles. So they turning away in unbelief has now become the wealth of the Gentile, because the Gentile has decided to put their trust in the Jewish Messiah that they have rejected. So the word tells us that as many as believe in Christ, as many as put of those who put their trust in Jesus, has the right now to become sons of God. The right has been given to them to become children of God. This is the greatest wealth that any individual can achieve, to be a child of God, a child of the King. This word is saying that there is still hope for Israel to come into the fullness or the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is not finished with Israel. God has not rejected Israel, no. But there is hope for Israel. And the word is still going out. The word is still being preached all around, that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through Jesus Christ. So they have hope. Still, there is still hope. Hope of receiving the word of God. Hope of accepting that Jesus Christ is the only way. And it's only by grace, through faith in Jesus, can they truly be saved. So there is still hope for the Jewish people, as Paul spoke in these three chapters, chapter 9, 10, and 11, that there is hope for them, for the Jewish people, to put their trust in the Jewish Messiah and to make him their Savior and Lord. God bless you all this evening. Thank you all for listening. And I pray that somebody who hear this word this evening will decide to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us this evening. We thank you for your people who took time out, O God, to hear your word. We pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that these words will find that good soil in their hearts, that it will germinate and bring forth fruits of righteousness. Father God, we pray your blessings will be upon those who hear your word. And Almighty God, that salvation will come to their hearts. Father God, we look to you and we just thank you for what you have done and what you are doing in this season. And we pray in the name of Jesus, you'll continue to illuminate your word to us. Oh God, let your word be that lamp to our feet and that light to our path, as we look to you by faith and give you thanks. And we pray in the name of Jesus. And we say amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. Have a wonderful weekend. And we pray that you'll continue to hold fast to the word of God. Let the word of God be that lamp to your feet and that light to your path. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the evening. Blessings to you all. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.